Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. We get to this point in the cycle of the year, and we've already had three or four Gospels about this topic. So I was trying to figure out an aspect that you might find most helpful in understanding what Jesus is trying to tell us when he says that I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He distinguishes by the word living that he is not talking about manna in the desert, because that was not living, and the people who ate it still died. But Jesus says, "Eat this, and you will not die." Well, it seems kind of simple, this whole thing about eat my flesh and drink my blood. We are very conditioned, we are so conditioned that we don't see how shocking this statement actually is. And it isn't any wonder that the Jewish people who were listening found great difficulty with what Jesus had to say. First of all, how would you eat the flesh of another human being? That goes against nearly every world culture that has ever been. But particularly with Jewish people, the whole idea of being in contact with blood was immediately impurify, is that a word? You'd be immediately impure if you were to even touch the blood of another animal or of a person. You just couldn't do that, because blood was thought to be the kind of negative duality in the human person. And yet Jesus says, "I am true food and true drink." And then he says even something more intensive, if I can use that word. He says, "If you do, you will remain in me, and I will remain in you." You could also say, "I will become you." And then follows what I think is the most important statement of this pericope of the gospel. He says, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of him, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me." About a year ago, I gave a homily. I don't remember what the feast day would have been. It might have been Corpus Christi, where I talked about this whole distinction between being begotten and being made. And there's a definite distinction between that. When God empties himself out of love to share himself, what he shares is so perfect. It is begotten as his only begotten Son. So God, you could say the Word, God speaks this perfect Word, and the Word that he speaks is himself. And then that Son, that which is being begotten by him is the Son. And then the love that the two of them have in the life, in their life, it becomes a love that is always new, which we call the Holy Spirit. That's the theological background of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus says, I have life because of him. Because he is being begotten by the Father. But we know that we're not begotten of the Father. We're made. When you make something, you don't make it out of yourself like you would be if you were a parent, a mother and a father. They beget children who are just like them. Human beings have human beings. Dogs don't have cats. Birds don't have caterpillars. Being begotten is something that is of the substance. We say it in the Creed, don't we? Begotten, not made, consubstantial, or of one substance with the Father. It's the same stuff. Whereas if you make something, you might be able to make a sailboat. You didn't make it out of your humanity. You made it out of wood and fabric and glue and paint and whatever else you need to make a sailboat. So being made and being begotten are two totally different things. But Jesus puts those two together in this one little phrase in the gospel today. He says, just as the living Father sent me and I have life because of him, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. The Trinity is life that is ever new. The Trinity has no past because the Trinity is eternal. It has no beginning. It is this being, this giving and receiving, being and being begotten that happens throughout all of eternity. Because God just is and always was and always will be. But in Christ, now everything is new. So we have a beginning, don't we? We're made by God. We were not made with his divinity. We were made as creatures out of the dust of the earth. However you want to read the two accounts of creation, God created us out of something that was not himself. We were made. But Jesus says, one who feeds on me will have eternal life because of me. In Jesus, everything is always new now. And now is always. We have no past before being human because we were made. But now in Jesus, because he has added his divinity to our humanity, we are begotten in him. One who feeds on me will have life because of me. So I want us not to get caught up on that word feed, because it still has that kind of weird, like, how can we eat this of another person? But think about feeding as receiving, right? If somebody gave you a loaf of bread and you're starving, it's not going to do you any good unless you eat it. The Eucharist exists for a purpose. It doesn't just exist for itself so that we can very happily say, oh, this is our Eucharist, and we can sit and we can adore this Eucharist. Now, and that, oh, that's good. It's good. The real presence of Jesus is good. But it's given to us for a purpose, because God wants that real presence of Jesus to become you and me. So when begotten, the gift of the Father is completely received by the Son. As I said before, the gift of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, the only begotten Son, when it is fully received by us, makes us sons and daughters by adoption. And in baptism, we become fully the body of Christ. In the same way that the sign of bread and wine nourishes and gives us life physically, under that form is contained the reality of the fullness of Christ, which we become. It was one of the earliest teachings of the church for those who had just been received into the church at the Easter Vigil. But the fathers of the church record homilies that say, come you now to this communion and receive who you are.